This is Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of the Valdez Medical Clinic, also an emergency doctor at Providence Valdez Medical Center here in Valdez. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll start with schools because I know there was just a school board meeting last night, and I had talked to the school board superintendent, Sean Arnold, had him on the air, and we talked about travel and isolation after travel and some of the issues that presents. And there were some decisions made at the school board level last night on how that will affect school. So glad to have you with us. Can you share with us what went down last night and what that means for teachers and students in the Valdez School District?
Well, the school districts are being advised to by employment lawyers to not go past the mandates of their, their city or state in terms of what's required of their employees, that is the teachers and the staff. And so the official mandate at the state level at the moment is 5 days of quarantine required, so a test at the airport or a test before you get to the airport, 5 days of quarantine, and then a recommended test at 5 days. It used to be, if you remember correctly, it was 7 days. Get a test at 7 to 14 days was required, and quarantine until that came back. And the public health people at the state, the DHSS and whatever, wanted to keep the 7-day one, and other people argued that it costs some money to do all those tests, et cetera, and it closes down the visiting somewhat. But mainly that Anchorage in particular, and the state in general, have such a high rate of COVID at the moment that to exclude people from Seattle, where the rate is way lower than it is in Anchorage, seems crazy, and so we should just not have any mandate at all. Of course, that's not true in most of the state, many places in the state do still have very low levels, like Valdez, and let any traveler in and don't even test to see whether they're carrying anything is not the preferred method there. So anyway, they compromised on 5. The biology of the illness our understanding of it hasn't changed any. And so the mean number of days to come up with symptoms is 5.5 or 6. And so then if you are contagious and have some viruses 2 days before that happens, I guess 5 catches some of those people, but 7 would catch more of those people. So that said, then the requirement is still going to be the requirement. You come back from Lower 48, you're going to have to do 5 days of quarantine. You can't go to school or you shouldn't even go to the grocery store. And then there's a recommended test at the end of that 5 days. The recommendation is still going to be 7 days, and the school district will allow its employees to take all 7 as part of their, their sick leave. The recommendation is still going to be to get a test, even though that's not required.
Okay, so that is for employees, so 5 days is what they're asking to come back to school, but they can be use sick leave up to the 7 days. And then what about students, Kathy? Students?
Well, the recommendation would still be the same, that you do the state mandate, which is 5 days of quarantine, but the recommendation would be 7. And tests, although not required, would be highly recommended. Really, if we can keep people from bringing things back from vacation, it would be wonderful. We all know that right after Christmas, everybody gets a cold, the flu, some GI bug that we all brought back from all over the United States and other places. And it would be really nice if COVID was not one of those things that went through the school when everybody gets back. The two medical offices in town are going to go out of their way, as long as we can get materials to make those tests super available. If we have to put on overtime, we'll do it so that everybody can get a test that wants one.
Yeah, and largely the discussion, I think, revolves around folks who've traveled out of state coming back into Alaska. But, Kathy, can we take this scenario and say, I plan to travel to, out of state. So from the point that, and maybe let's just say Christmas break. So there's a person who wants to travel out of state for the, there's a 1 week of Christmas break. So in order to leave, or what are the things that you would recommend for a person do? I know there's differences, there's different rules depending on where you're going, whether they need a test or not, but with folks you've been talking to, what would you do from start to finish, from the point that you, 5 days before you leave till when you return?
Well, as you say, some places require a test to get into their state, and so you can get tests here for that purpose. I would try to make my vacation days the first week of that 2 week Christmas vacation instead of the last week of it, so that at least part of the time after I got back would be already in Valdez and I could do my five, seven days on the end without missing a lot of school.
And what is the protocol for making a, you know, I know if you have to have a test within 72 hours of being in another place, what are the options here in Valdez to make that test, and what are the costs? Is there a cost for a test to travel?
You mean a test to travel to Hawaii?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right at the moment, that's free. There's some, we're up in the air a little bit about where the materials are going to come from after January 1st. We've been told that those will only come directly from Abbott instead of through the feds in the state. And that turns out to be impossible because Abbott isn't set up to send out little bits to every medical clinic. And we just had a change in the regime at the national level. So basically everybody's kind of up in the air. But as long as we have tests, yes, you can get a free test to leave also.
And that would just be calling either medical clinic and making an appointment at this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So once that appointment's made, you can have that test 3 days prior and then travel. And let's go to Hawaii. Let's just go to Hawaii because that sounds like a wonderful place right now with the beach and warm weather. And then on the return, the options still are to get a test. You can get a test at the airport still, right? If people are inclined.
Yes. And if you're an Alaskan, you can get a free test at the airport. If you're not an Alaskan, like if you have a family coming from lower 40, it costs $250. So make sure that people are ready for that.
And then once you're back, you want to account for at least 5 days of isolation. That's what's required by Valdez City Schools after the meeting last night, but recommended
that's required by the state.
By the state as well. So, but seven if you can do it, because the reasoning is that that'll catch the full period of time when, if you had been exposed, you would start to see symptoms on average.
It won't be the average, not the full, but the average, yeah.
All right. So I think that's clear, and I think, hopefully folks are aware that's a date to build in. So discussion at the school board, because if staff does do a lot of traveling, what are the repercussions there? Will you have enough staff to come back to school, or is that going to be a problem or anticipated?
Well, they're about to put out a survey. It's very close to being out as to survey the staff and the students as to who actually is going to be under quarantine. And if it's very few people leaving, which it may be this year, which would be great, then they'll have school as usual. And if it's going to be a bunch of people sitting home in quarantine, then maybe there'll be a week of Zoom. I think that remains to be determined, but everybody should be making their plans as if school's going to start when it was suggested that it start.
All right. And I did talk to Mr. Sean Arnold, and he said he would, get us updates on that. So we'll pass that information along, but important to give people as much advance notice as possible, because that 5 days could really impact folks. And I know the schools have been very good about if you're out for quarantine, then getting the kids school materials and that type of thing. So I know, whatever happens that the rest of the school year, they're definitely going to have to keep up with that, because there are still folks who are quarantining for the due to exposure. So,
And the other thing I'd like to say is that it also will, you know, whether you and your family get sick, let alone bring it back to town, has to do with what you do on vacation. So, if what you do is go to all the clubs in Waikiki that are open, I don't know if there are any, then you're going to be a much higher risk than if you stroll on the beach or go on a hike all by yourself with your family. Same thing if you go to Anchorage. Remember, Anchorage is a hot spot right now, and so if you go to Anchorage instead of going out of state, there aren't all these requirements, but maybe there should be if you're getting back to Valdez, because there are a lot of cases there that they can't trace because people are just kind of giving it to each other. And so wearing your mask and not going to crowded restaurants and that sort of thing is important, even in-state in certain parts of the state.
All right, and I had heard about the testing and I think in one of Governor Dunleavy's press conferences, he mentioned the federal government was interested in not interested in continuing to financially support testing at the state level. So then the state would not be able to provide. But good, I guess it's good news to at least have a date that January 1st, you know, at least we know right now and until January 1st, the protocol, but we'll be watching that closely, I think, what happens after that. Because do you anticipate the cost of a test remaining at $250?
I don't know. And whether it's billed to your insurance and it still costs nothing to you, but there's a lot more paperwork. There's all kinds of things there. And as I say, the availability of the materials may get fouled up. Just like at the beginning of the pandemic when nobody could find toilet paper, there was plenty of toilet paper, but it was in the school. It was ready to be sold to schools and businesses and huge agencies, not to consumers. And now they've got it kind of rearranged. And the same thing with this. If Abbott has been ready to send things to states in these huge batches, and now they have to send them in, you know, Valley's Medical Clinic size batches, that's a big transition. But remember, the Biden administration has been saying more testing, and so I think that could change, and we really don't know what it's going to look like, which makes it even harder to make sure that the toilet paper is in the right place.
Yeah, we have no idea how long that's going to take. Yeah, a lot of stuff up in the air, so hard to focus and figure out where the focus is, where it goes. But for our local level, at least we have some guidance and direction on the holiday travel and getting out ahead of that a little bit. So thanks for your work on the school board and having those discussions. If we get back to medical, I've noticed an influx of more information about, it's kind of funny, 9 months later, about other things you can do to be healthy and prevent against COVID. Big, long articles about vitamin D and obesity. And so I just wanted to ask, in general, what new directions do you see this taking? You know, 9 months later, we're still talking masks, but some of the other discussions are changing, and even the mask discussion is changing a bit because it is getting incorporated into daily life and people are needing to figure out how they can do things. So what do you see in terms of direction and what kind of things we're looking toward? Everyone, of course, well, and I can't not mention a vaccine. So what are some of the changes and the tides turning and where we're looking to now, things that we're hanging our hat on for information and guidance in the months to come?
Well, of course, with the announcement by Pfizer that their vaccine looks to be really good, 90% of usefulness or efficacy of a vaccine like this is really great. We know the flu vaccine isn't 100%. Measles vaccine is pretty good, but this kind of a vaccine is hard, and to get 90%, and we don't know whether you're going to have to get a booster every year. We don't know whether the virus is going to change. I mean, there's all kinds of things, but that's still really encouraging. It's still going to take a while to get it totally approved, make sure that it's safe, make sure that it works for more than a month, you know, all those things. But when we get that, which will probably be for the general population sometime in the spring next year, is kind of their estimate as early as it could be, then one could make it, by getting the vaccine, one could make it much less likely that you catch COVID. And so that actually makes kind of a light at the end of the tunnel to me. That is, it's possible that if I can avoid getting COVID all the way until I can get a vaccine, that I might never get COVID, as opposed to if I wear all these masks and I hunker down and whatever, am I just postponing the inevitable? So instead of postponing it, if you can postpone it until you never get it at all, wouldn't that be nice? So I think that that is really an encouraging thing to say, okay, how much longer is it that I can't hug anybody? It's actually a measure of, you know, less than a year, which is much better than, I don't know. Diet and exercise and, you know, and don't get obese and all those sorts of things, I think, have been there from the beginning, but especially in the winter months, are people going to get less exercise? All of those things have been always important as to who gets super sick and who only gets a little bit sick, or who catches it in the first place. So I hope that we can all emphasize those.
There hasn't been a whole, I think initially there's a lot of information about smokers being more vulnerable, but is that playing out as well? And do you think this could have some positive benefits, that maybe we'll have less smokers moving forward? I don't know, because that's a definite health risk for folks.
Well, I don't know. I'm seeing kind of people quitting smoking for all kinds of good reasons, including COVID. But I'm also seeing people smoke more because they're sitting at home with nothing to do. So
yeah, because it's kind of like it's anxious, a good idea, but so. Donuts taste good, right?
Yeah, exactly. I will say, you mentioned vitamin D, and right at the moment we have lots of articles in medical saying, well, vitamin D doesn't keep you from falling down, and vitamin D doesn't keep, but you know, and some of those, you said, whoever said that in the first place? But I guess there was an article saying vitamin D is good for everything that ails you. That's not true. But I have never seen a normal vitamin D level in somebody from Valdez, unless in my practice, unless they were taking a supplement or they had just been to Hawaii and Mexico for the winter or something. The physics of it is that we don't really get very much vitamin D from the sun. If it's below 45 degrees on the horizon, it's just going through too much air to really still have the right rays to activate that. Plus, you make much more vitamin D from your torso than you do from arms and legs and face. And so I don't know how many people are going out there in their bathing suit today, but not I, no matter how much sun there is. And even in the summer, if you think about it, either you're going to freeze by going out there in your tank top and your shorts, or you're going to get bug bit. And so I think people in Alaska don't tend to get a lot of vitamin D from the sun, even on sunny days. And so it behooves us all to have enough vitamin D. You don't want to go totally overboard, but taking some vitamin D is a good idea on all kinds of
it would have been good.
Reasons.
That would have been a good investment about 2 or 3 months ago, I think, the vitamin D market.
Right.
But alas,
right.
I don't think it's in my stock portfolio. So, I think we've covered a lot of things. Are there any other issues or new developments on the horizon to share before we let you go?
No, we spent a lot of time at school board discussing how things were going to be
phasing.
Is that okay?
We didn't talk about phasing. That was on my list, and I had forgotten because Valdez is kind of so, bouncing back between one and two.
Yeah, right. And we're one of, we found that we're one of 13 school districts that are open in the whole state. The other 40 are closed down or have been for large periods of time. And we'd really like to keep it that way. So the big thing on phasing for some people is whether you have to wear a mask or whether it's just recommended. Principals and whatever, we're saying that it really doesn't change things that much, but that the kids have it all figured out and that it's easier for them to flip back and forth than I would have imagined. I would have said that isn't it easier to just leave it the same thing all the time, but apparently the kids really appreciate this is a phase one day versus a phase two day. So I think that they're going to do that, and they're trying to make it clearer. But there still could be other factors that go into that decision. There were other factors yesterday besides how many people were on the officially infected list yesterday. And so they didn't take it down to phase one, and some of the kids really resented it. But you just have to realize that there could be other factors in the background, some of which the school can't share because of privacy. So they really are trying to keep it as low as possible, but also keep kids safe. It keeps kids and teachers safe. So,
and a review for folks who maybe haven't listened to these interviews before, as Kathy Todd, Dr. at Valdez Medical Clinic, has said, she's part of a committee, but there is a committee at the school district that does make decisions on what phase. So it's not necessarily guided by it's this number, it's this phase. It's a myriad of considerations that are looked at in order to make those determinations on what phase the schools are at. And Sean Arnold and I talked yesterday as well. The school's done a great job getting emails and stuff out, but we're kind of used to getting, you know, text on our phone if the roads are closed or something like that, you know, some more emergency type thing. But they are notifying people that it is phase one, it is phase two, which is not, you know, there's not a huge, huge difference. It's not an emergency, but it is informational. And just trying to keep people updated on what that is. So if you get a notice on your phone, if you have a child in school, it's not necessarily an emergency. It's kind of moved toward just notifications. So,
yeah. And the other thing that was clarified is that in the summer, it made sense to make a big difference between resident cases and non-resident cases, because the non-resident cases were fish processors that were
totally isolated,
you know, on their own island out there. They weren't allowed to come into town. Whereas now non-resident cases are just as interactive with the population as resident cases. So it's going to be total cases, not just resident cases.
Now, is that at the city level, is that changing on the...
The city is going to still designate them that way, but they're going to count everybody who's in the community in terms of the is it over four or not.
Okay. Very good. So, and that information's on the Valdez Unified Command if you're looking for Valdez case count. It's on the city's website, so you can check that out, and then that's one of the factors that the committee uses to determine phasing for the schools here in Valdez. So,
well, and that gets determined actually by the superintendent, because those counts don't come out till like 9 or 9:30 at night, and the phasing committee does not meet every day. It's just like calling a snow day, like Sean was saying. Somebody has to make that decision early in the morning, and they don't get to ask everybody. They just have the principles that the school board have laid down and that the phasing committee has discussed to go by, because they have to make the call real time.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going on for a long time. So everyone can't be on call 24 hours a day. So I have to incorporate it into some sort of structure. So anyway, thank you for your time with more information for our community, and we can meet up again next week and then maybe review through some of the travel again as we get closer to the holidays.
Sounds good. Or anything else that people want to ask about, maybe they could call you.
Yeah, definitely. You can email greatvaldeznews@gmail.com if you have a question that you'd like me to ask of Dr. Todd. That'd be great. We usually do interviews on Wednesday mornings. We're doing it Tuesday today, but if you want to get me those questions by Monday of the week, Monday or Tuesday, at valdeznews@gmail.com, that's the best way to get them to me. That'd be super, and we'll see if we can pass that along. I haven't lobbied you a question you haven't tried to send back over the net, so We'll give it a go, and thank you for providing the information and focus on just information and education. So appreciate that. I know I've heard lots of comments. Folks appreciate being informed and getting the information. So
my pleasure.